Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Tes Zayin. We are two lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Tes Vav Amid Beis Tanu Rabbanon. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza, Avram Ben Gittel, Shoshana Bas Esther Bela, Avram Kadesh Ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekusil Ben Gittel, Chana Gittel Bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shayoshov Ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Tzvi Ben Hinda, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo Ben Basia, Chaim Ben Yama Mordechai Ben Ida, Chizki Yishloim Aziskin Ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi Ben Chana Henela, Yitzchok Ben Yamin Ben Sara Fremit, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe Ben Chana, Rav Chaim Doiv Ben Kreindel, Yael Bas Bela, Shoshana Tova Bas Esther, Michal Shoshana Bas Tova Daso and Chavesero Bas Chana Freda. Today's staff is also being learned. Ilui Nishmas Yisrael Alter Ben Yosef Akoyen, Yichiel Yosef Ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloim Bezeb Ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Ziskin Ben Meir Ochanan, and Baruch Tzvi Ben Ephraim Zalman Halevi. So yesterday we began the 16th perek of Mesechtes Shabbos, perek Kol Kisvei, which is a new topic. It deals with the halachos if there's a fire in a house. It's not so poshut that one is allowed to go and save everything in the house. The reason is because even though saving items per se wouldn't necessarily constitute a malacha, assuming you're not carrying from a Rosh Hashanah to a Rosh Hashanah or from a Rosh Hashanah to a Carmelis, it could potentially involve no Yisurei Shabbos. But at the same time, the Chachamim were concerned that a person shouldn't get too close to a fire, because being that a person who sees his possessions burning, it's going to be very hard for him to take it lying down. There was a concern that this person may be tempted to extinguish the fire and he would violate the malach of mechabos. It's for that reason the Chachamim were very particular about what the person's allowed to save and what the person's not allowed to save. The first mishnah of the perek deals with a fire that's burning in a house where there are kisvei kodesh, a sefer Torah, neviim, ksuvim, and there the mishnah said that even though we're particular about what you are and are not allowed to save, but kol kisvei hakodesh matzil noisam v'pnei adolek. And the first daf dealt with some halachos as it relates to kisvei kodesh that you're allowed to save. What if the kisvei kodesh were written not b'loshan hakodesh, but rather in some other language, English, Aramaic? What if the kisvei hakodesh weren't written with black ink, which is the proper way to write kisvei kodesh, but rather it was written with some other form of ink? What if the kisvei hakodesh is missing words? Would you be allowed to save it then, or would you not be allowed to save it then? The Gemara mentioned specifically what would be if the Kisvei HaKodesh had less than 85 letters. What would be the halacha then? Assuming that there's some cutoff point, that if a Sefer Torah has 85 letters, for sure it has Kedusha, for sure you're supposed to save it. But if it has less than 85 letters, then maybe not. So the question is, what's this idea of 85 letters? And today's daf is going to begin with a digression. It's a fascinating topic. This first daf that we're going to learn is a classic. It relates to a lot of raid, both in halacha, both in lamdis, both in divrei agada, in divrei chizuk, in chsidus. So hopefully in the next few days we'll refer back to this gemara. But for now, we need a little bit of an introduction, a little bit of a hashtag rest of the story as it relates to the parshiyos that we're learning right now, as it relates to the time that the Yidden were in the Midbar. So we know that the Yidden left Mitzrayim on Pesach, on Tes Vav Nisan. 7 days later was Kriyas Yamsov. 49 days from when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, the Yidden stood at the foot of Har Sinai and they were mekabel the Torah. The Yidden was supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael shortly thereafter. However, one thing led to another. Ultimately, the chet of the Meraglim, and because of that, the Yidden were told that 40 years you'd have to remain in the Midbar, even though it wasn't really that far of a trip to go from Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael. But because of the chet of the Meraglim, the Yidden were going to have to be in the Midbar for 40 years. Most of the generation would end up dying and be buried in the Midbar, and then the next generation, they would be zoicha to finally enter Eretz Yisrael. But what was really supposed to happen? Meaning, what was plan A? So we know what plan B was, that's what happened. But what was the original plan? So let's just walk through the timeline from when the Yidden leave Mitzrayim up until when things start really spiraling out of control. So again, the Yidden left Mitzrayim on Tes Vav Nisan. on Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan, a machlokes in the Gemara, the Yidden were mekabel the Torah. After the Yidden were mekabel the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim for 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem lo yachal, mayim lo shasa. He went to bring down the luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu came down on the 40th day. He saw that the Yidden had sinned, the chet ha'egel. He took the luchos and he broke it. Moshe Rabbeinu went up for another 40 days. Then he went up for another 40 days. At the end of the third period of 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was up in Shemayim, he came down with the luchos shniyos. Vayoymer Hashem solachti kidvarech. This happened on Yom Kippur. And the Yidden were told that they were forgiven for the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu told the Yidden that now we're going to build a Mishkan. They started preparing for the Mishkan these next few days after Yom Kippur. And then on Tesvav Tishrei, that was the day that they started building the Mishkan, also known as Sukkot. The Yidden started the building of the Mishkan. It lasted a few months. It ended around Chanukah time. But Hashem said that I'm waiting for a special day for the Mishkan to be properly inaugurated. That day was Vayihi Bayoyim Hashmini. It's the first pasuk of Parashat Shmini. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Yidden now go and they have a Mishkan and the Avoda was done by Aharon HaKoyen and fire came down and there were special brachas and birchas Koyenim for the first time. It was an unbelievable day. At the same time, the pasuk says Vayihi Bayoyim Hashmini, Ein Vayihi Aloloshin Tzar. And the tzar that happened on that way is that Nadav and Aviu, Aharon HaKoyen's two older sons, they both died. But either way, we went now almost a full year. We went from the Yidden leaving Mitzrayim in Chodesh Nisan, and now we're already holding. Now we're already holding Tesvav, now we're already holding Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year. Now where were the Yidden during this entire time? They were still in Midbar Sinai. They hadn't gone anywhere. They were in Midbar Sinai. They were mekabel the Torah by Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu went up when the Yidden were at Har Sinai. They waited 40 days and 40 days and 40 days. That's where they built the Mishkan. That's where everything took place. Fast forward now to Parshas Bahaloischa. The Pasuk says in Perik Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayihi Bashana Sheinis, it was the second year from when the Yidden left Mitzrayim. Bachodesh Hasheini, it was Chodesh Iyar, the Chodesh of Ani Hashem Roifecho. Be'esrim Bachodesh, it was the 20th day of the month. Nala Ha'onam Me'al Mishkon Eidos. The Onon ascended from on top of the Mishkon. What did that mean? It meant that it was time to travel. Vayisu B'nei Yisrael Maseim, Mi Midbar Sinai, Vayishkon Ha'onam B'Midbar Ponon. So that means the Yidden now, on the 20th day of Chodesh Iyar, we're finally going to live Midbar. So how long were the Yidden then at Midbar Sinai? Says Rashi, Nimtzas Ata Omer. So if you do the math, it comes out they were there Shnei Masa Chodesh Chasa Asara Yom. They were there 12 months minus 10 days. What's the methodology? Because when did the Yidden arrive at Midbar Sinai? B'Chodesh Hashli Be'echad HaChodesh Rish Chodesh Sivan. When did they leave? Chaf Iyar. Had they stayed 10 days longer, it would have been Rosh Chodesh Sivan again. So essentially, they were there 12 months minus 10 days. Now, where were they going? Where were they supposed to go? So if you fast forward several psukim, the Torah tells us where they were going. Moshe goes to his Shver Chovev. Chovev was one of Yisrael's seven names. We're going. Where are we going? To the place Asher Amar Hashem Oisai Etein Lochem. L'cha, come with us. You're going to have it really good with us. So Yisroi told Moshe, Loi Eilech, I'm not going. Ki em el arzi ve el moiladati Eilech. No, it's not someplace that I want to go. So the Yidden right now on Chav Iyar, they started traveling. And where were they traveling to? They were traveling to Eretz Yisrael. They were supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk says, Vayisu mehar Hashem derech shloishes yomim. They traveled for 3. What's derech shloishes yomim? Because it was going to take 3 days from that point for when the Yidden were going to enter Eretz Yisrael. They were supposed to enter Eretz Yisrael literally 3 days later. If you notice, what is Moshe Rabbeinu? Says Rashi, at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu himself was supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael. This is before the Chet of the Meimariva. So imagine, the Yidden spend a year, minus 10 days, at Har Sinai. They're supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was going to go with them. And then all of a sudden, everything started to unravel. Like they went, they traveled 3 days. And all of a sudden, before the Torah tells us how it unraveled, you have two backwards nuns, if you refer to your Chumash, or to your Sefer Torah, or to your Tikkun L'Kayim, and you have two psukim that are completely out of context. Vayihi b'nesoya ha'orim vayoyim Moshe. Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu oivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha. Uvenucha yoyimah, now we're putting Sefer Torah back, shuva Hashem river v'yis alfa yisrael. Two psukim completely out of context. And then the Torah tells us how it unraveled. Vayihi ha'om k'mesoyinim rab azne Hashem. The Yidden were mesoyinim. They complained. What they complained about, we don't even know. They complained because they wanted to complain. Vayishma Hashem, vayichar Har Apoy, Vativer Bamesh, there was a fire, and the Kitzei HaMachin, the fringe of the Jewish people, they were affected. And then the Pasuk says, Vasafsuf Asher Bekirboy, there was another element amongst the Jewish people, Hisavu Taiva, they had a Taiva. What did they want? They wanted meat, and they started complaining, Mi Achilenu Basar, and they asked for meat, and then Hashem got upset at them, and they got punished for them. Either way, one thing led to another. Eventually, the Meraglim, which is the next parasha, Parasha Shlach, and eventually 40 years in the Midbar. So really, the Yidden leave Mitzrayim, B'chodesh HaShlishi, B'echel HaChodesh, which Chodesh Sivan, they arrive at Har Sinai. They were going to be there some sort of extended period of time, and then they were going to take a three-day trip into Eretz Yisrael. That was the whole story, and it was Noisem HaNachnu, Moshe Rabbeinu himself was going to go. However, Averis happened, and because of these Averis, that's why they ended up remaining in the Midbar. Ultimately, it was the Chet of the Meraglim that sealed the fate of the Jewish people and cause them to be there for 40 years. But the Gemara is going to begin with a braisa that's going to grapple with why the Torah interjected these two psukim. Now the truth is, what's the literal translation of these words? When the Aaron used to travel, when did the Aaron travel? When the Yidden traveled. The Yidden didn't just go, it was al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yiso. So really the GPS of the Jewish people when they were in the Midbar, the ways, so to speak, was the Aaron. That's what led the way. Whenever the Aaron went, they went. That was Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al Pi Hashem. So everything was based on what the Aaron told them to do. So by Himan Sayyar Aaron, parenthetically says the Torah, when the Aaron would travel, Moshe Rabbeinu would say, Kuma Hashem, via futsu aivecha, because the Aaron would knock out all the enemies. So via nusu misanecha miparecha, uvenuchay, and then when it settled, Shuva Hashem, river voice, alfa yisos. Again, we'll see a lot more about these psukim. But really, these psukim are a more general psukim that describe the travels of the Yidden when they were in the Midbar. As a result, it probably should have been mentioned earlier in the Torah. I mean, the Yidden are traveling now, so it's not completely out of context, but Parshas Bamidbar Nasai, when the Torah talks about the Degolim and the formation, the way the Yidden traveled, so if there was an Aaron and Moshe Rabbeinu had a shtickle that he would say when the Aaron traveled and when the Aaron settled, so the Torah should have said it there. So the question is, why are we mentioning it over here? Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabban. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that when a Sefer writes a Sefer Torah, these two psukim need to have simonios. There has to be a simin before the pasuk and a simin at the end of the pasuk. Meaning before Vayehi ben Tzaya Ha'aroim, there should be a simin. And then at the end, Shuvah Hashem, Riva Vais Alfi Yisrael, there should be another simin. Now what exactly are these simonios? It was a tremendous, big time, major debate amongst the Gedolei HaPoskim. We'll see about that in the Raid Bite. But for now, wait a minute, what was the purpose of these simonios? She'ein Zeh Mekayima, to show that these two psukim are out of context. Rabbi said it's not true. It's not out of context. No, it's not. I disagree. Meaning, why would you think it's out of context? You should have mentioned it when the Torah started telling the story of how the Yidden traveled. Why does Rebbe hold it's not out of context? Because the pasuk is describing the Yidden traveling. They just settled for 12 months minus 10 days. Now they're starting to travel again. So the Torah mentioned it over here, the Vayehi ben Tzaya. So says Rebbe, if it's not out of context, why do you have these simonios? The reason is because this is a safer chashuv b'fnei atzmai. Amazing. These two psukim, Vayehi ben Tzaya, Vayehi ben Moshe, uvenucha yoymar, it's a safer Torah for itself. Says the Gemara, command, the pasuk says Chatzva Amudeh Shiva Pasuk and Mishlei. The first part of the pasuk is better known. Chachma is Bansa Besa. The end of the pasuk is Chatzva Amudeh Shiva. What's this referring to? So Rabbi Yonason said Elu Shiva Sifrei Torah. It's referring to the seven Sifrei Torah. Seven Sifrei Torah. I thought it's five Sifrei Torah. Command Karevi. According to Rebbe, who holds Bamidbar is really made up of three Sifrei Torah. You have the beginning of Bamidbar until Vayehi ben Tzaya Aharon. Vayehi ben Tzaya Aharon Uvenuchai. That's another Sifrei Torah. And then right after is Vayehi Ham Kemesoinen in Rabbe Esnei Hashem. So that's a way to start a Sefer Torah. But Vayiyam, Kimisloin, Rabbi, that's the next Sefer Torah. So if you take Bamidbar, which is one, you make it into three, then you have two more to your five. Back of the envelope arithmetic, you have seven, says the Gemara. Man time the public leader Rebbe. Who's a Tana that argues with Rebbe, who holds that the reason there are simonios around Vayehi ben Tzaya and Uvenucha Yoimar is because these psukim are out of context? It's Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. It's Rebbe's father. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Tanya went into the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. I see the Parshas Ushat Yakim. The Kamedi Glass of Bim Koyma. Eventually, this pas, these two psukim, this parsha is going to be put in its appropriate place. So why was it mentioned over here? The Torah interjected it, put it out of context to be mafsik between Puranios and Puranios. As the Gemara, Puranios Shnei Mahi, what's the second Puranios? That's Puranios, talks about an Avera that the Yidden did and the punishment that they got. Puranios Rishoino, what's the first Puranios? Vayisu Mehar Hashem. Because right before Vayihibin Sayyarin, it says Vayisu Mehar Hashem, Derech Shloishes Yomim. And that too is a Puranios. We'll see in Yetz Hashem in tomorrow's raid. A major machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos here in the Gemara, Shabbos, Kuf Tezayin, Amad Aleph. It's also machloikis Rashi and the Ramban in the Pirush Al HaTorah and Parshas Baal Loischa as to what exactly was the Puranios of Vayisu Mehar Hashem. Kitina Kaberech Mibes HaSefer. We'll see this in tomorrow's stuff. Either way, Vamar Rabcham Barachachan, you know, Shesor Meachri Hashem. Means that they went away from Hashem. Again, why? Where? How? Why? We're going to get to that. So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that this is out of context, what would be the proper place to place this? In the parasha did the Golem, the first time the Torah talks about the formation of exactly how the Jews traveled, this is where this should have been mentioned. Either way, we return to the regular program, which is the halachos of Kol Kisvei, specifically, if there's a fire, it's burning, it's Shabbos, you're allowed to save Kisvei HaKodesh. Iboyuluhu, Hagul Yoinim, Shal Sefer Torah, Matzin L'Noisim Ne'ad Aleikah, E Matzin L'Noisim Ne'ad Aleikah. You're allowed to save the margins of a Sefer Torah, meaning the part of Sefer Torah where nothing's written on it. Does that have Kedusha, you save it on Shabbos if there's a fire or not? Toshma Sefer Torah Shabbalo. If you have a Sefer Torah that's worn out, if you have enough letters, meaning 85 letters, you can go in Parshas Vayibin Sayaharin, the equivalent to the Parsha of Vayibin Sayaharin, then you save it. And if not, Frank the Gemara, the obvious question, who cares if you have 85 letters or you don't have 85 letters? Typically, you should save it anyways. Mishum Gulyoinim Didei. Why don't you save it because of the Gillian? If the Gillian has Kedusha and you're supposed to save the Gillian, meaning even if there's no words, you still have to save it. So why? 85 letters, yeah. Less than 85 letters, no. That's why we got into this whole schmooze about Vayihib and Sayyarin. Forget about the letters. You should save it anyways because of the Gillian. So the Gemara says Balashani. Now that price is talking about a Sefer Torah Shabbalo. A Sefer Torah that's worn out. A Sefer Torah that's worn out, there the margins you don't save. But a Sefer Torah that's not worn out, there you would save the margins, perhaps, or maybe no. That was the Shiloh. But don't bring me a ride from that price, because that price is not talking about a functional Sefer Torah. It's talking about a Sefer Torah that was Bala, you can't really use it. Once it's Bala, then maybe the Gillian is treated differently. Tashma, bring you right from a different brisa. Sefer Torah she nimchak. It's the same brisa, one difference. First brisa said Sefer Torah she Bala. This brisa says Sefer Torah she nimchak. If you have 85 letters, go in parshas Vayim and Sayyar, Matzilin, you save. What happened to the Gillian? And again, over here, it's not a Sefer Torah she Bala. There's nothing wrong with the Sefer Torah. It was just nimchak. So the question is, if it was nimchak, you should save it. So the Gemara says, "Oh, makam aksav loy kamei boyle." No, over there, the gilyon that the Gemara is arguing should be the reason that you should save the Sefer Torah is because the area that was nimchak, meaning you person, a sefer erased like a whole Sefer Torah, he doesn't even have 85 osias. So the question is, should you save it or not? So the kash is, what do you mean? The area that he erased it on, that is a gilyon, shouldn't it have kedusha? So the Gemara says no, because that area where you write the osias, that's poshut, it only has kedusha to the extent that there are osias. The chikadosh agav ksavu the kadosh. It's whole kedusha it gets because of something written there. It's azal ksav, if the ksav's not there, azal kedusha ase. Then it makes perfect sense that the kedusha shouldn't be there either. So the reason the Sefer Torah nimchak and not saving is because the whole kedusha of that mokim was because of what was written there. If there's nothing written in there now, then you're not going to have that kikam ibayli. The shayla was shal maila v'shal mata. What about the margin on top, the margin on bottom? Shebein parashal parash, the area between the two parashas. Shebein daf. All the surrounding areas. That's the question. The question is, what would be over there? In other words, the shoyel, he was referring to the margins. That braisa, Sefer Torah shenimchak, that's clear that if there's no letters there, you wouldn't save it, because if it's less than 85 letters, you don't save it. What about the Gillian? The Torah says you don't save for the Gillian. That's because that's not the margin. That's the area where there were letters that aren't there anymore. So it's pashut that area only has kedusha to the extent there are letters there. Because if you think about it, the part of the klaf where you're supposed to write osios, So what's the purpose of that klaf for the oisiyas to be written there? So it only has kedusha to the extent that the oisiyas are written there. If there's no oisiyas written there, then perhaps it wouldn't have kedusha. But the other parts of the gilyon, such as the margins, where there aren't oisiyas that are ever supposed to be written there, so then maybe it would have kedusha even if there are no oisiyas written there. Either way, the Gemara is saying it can't be derived from the Braisa. But the Gemara asks a very obvious follow-up. What do you mean? The tepikle mishumahu. At the end of the day, this is a Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah has less than 85 letters. A lot of it was erased. Okay, so less than 85 letters, that's not enough. The fact that there was once letters written and now it was erased, that's also not good, because that only has its kedusha, machmas, diksav. Diksav's not there. But doesn't it have margins? So the Gemara says, maybe we're talking about that this Sefer Torah didn't have the margins. All the margins were cut out. So I don't know how you visualize the Sefer Torah, but bottom line is there are no margins. No margins. So you can't bring a raya from that braisa. Tashma, I'll bring you a raya from a mafurisha braisa. Hagul yoinim shal malo v'shal mato. Shebein parsha l'parsha. Shebein daf l'daf. Shebetchila sefer. Shebetsoif ha-sefer. Metamin esayodayim. All those margins are metamidi yodayim. So what does it mean it's metamidi yodayim? So we know one of the yudches dvarim of the beginning of the Masechta fame was that if somebody touches kisvei kodesh, his hands become tamei. What if somebody touches the margins of the Sefer Torah? This is a braisa. His hands also become tummy. What does that mean? It means the gilyon has kedusha. So if the gilyon has kedusha, that it's metame the yadayim, shouldn't it have kedusha as it relates to that you should save it from a fire? The Gemara says, Dilma agav Sefer Torah shani. Maybe there's different. Maybe that braisa is talking about where you have a proper Sefer Torah, or you have a proper Sefer Torah, and there's margins on the Sefer Torah. So then you have the, we're discussing when you're not saving a proper Sefer. If you're saving a proper Sefer Torah, you would save it anyways because of the Sefer Torah. We're talking about where there's less than 85 letters, or maybe all you have are the margins. So over there, that's the Shiloh. Would you save it or you're not saving? You have no raya that gillion would be metamed the yadayim, and as a result, you have no raya that gillion would have kedusha. That it's something that you would have to save. Tashma, another price. Agul yoinim the sifrei minim the gillion, or that's what the Gemara thinks now, the svarim that were written by a min. So we're going to learn a lot about minin right now. So what is a min? So loosely translated, a min is synonymous with an apikoiris. Marke de islay, v'marke de islay. It's me'inyan le'inyan ba'oise inyan. But the Ritva in many places in Shatz quotes a Rashi that we don't have. So this is one of the Rashis that was censored, and one of the places the Ritva quotes it is on Ar Gemara. Sifrei minin, pirish Rashizal. Again, we don't have this Rashi, but pirish Rashizal. Talmidai yeshoi, shayu koisvin sifrei. Min is an acronym. Rashi Tevois. The Mem is Mitalmide. The Yud is Yeshoi, and the Nun is Noitzri. So Min is Mitalmide Yeshoi Noitzri. So that's the context of some of these Gemaras that we're about to learn. But either way, so what does the Braisa say? Hagul Yoinim. The Sifrei Min Ematzi Noitzri. When they had the Leiko El Nisrafim Bim Koimam. We allow it to burn. Hey Vaskeri Seyem. So Gemara says, My love Gul Yoinim the Sefer Torah. It sounds like the Gul Yoin is one thing, and Sifrei Minim is another thing. So you see clearly a Gul Yoin of a proper Sefer Torah. You don't say. The Gemara says like Gul Yoinim the Sifrei Minim. The Braisa is not two things, it's one thing. Hagil Yoinim, not this Sifrei Minim, but rather Hagil Yoinim, this Sifrei Minim. But the Gemara says, Hash the Sifrei Minim, Gufayue Matzilun, Gul Yoinim Iboya. Then why would the Braisa have to tell me that? Meaning, if you don't save the Sifrei Minim, you certainly wouldn't save the Gilyon. Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, the Sifrei Minim, Harein Kil Gul Yoinim. The Sifrei Minim are like their own Gul Yoinim. We look at it as if it's a blank piece of paper. Avada, the Gilyon, the parchment that's blank, the margins of a proper Sifrei Torah, you would save. Maybe. But as it relates to this Braisa, so what the Braisa is saying is Sifrei Minim is like a blank piece of parchment. It has no Kedusha. Hein Vaskeris and Gufa. On this note, Hagul Yoinim, Sifrei Minim, Hein Vaskeris, Sifrei Minim, you don't say when they had the Lekim. Rabbi Yossi said, Bechol, Koidus HaAskar Shabam. Rabbi Yossi, he went even further. He said that if you have a Sefer Torah that was written by a min during the week, not on Shabbos, but during the week, you can take a knife. You should cut out the askara, the goins on and hide it, the ashar siphon and go lechatchila and burn it. I'm Reb Tarfon went even further. He said, a kapach has bana. Reb Tarfon used to say this a lot. This is a Lashon Shfuo. He said that if I'm wrong, let something bad happen to his children. If I ever had the opportunity, if I ever got my hands on one of the svarim that was written by one of these minim, I would have burnt them. The eso askaris them with the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shafilu adam roidev acharav. Because if someone's running after you, lahargoy v'nachash ratz lakishoy, or a snake is coming after you to bite you, nichnas beis avodah zarah, you can enter a beis avodah zarah. But ve'ein nichnas l'bateim shaleilu. Reb Tarfon said you would not be allowed to enter there. their houses, their houses of worship. Shalolo makir v'koyfim v'alolo e makir v'koyfim. He said, over there, the Zara, they were like tinoikos shenushbo. He says, but the meaning, they all were brought up and they know Yiddishkeit and they went off anyways. And if that's the case, they're koyfim v'aleim akosavoyim v'achra delos v'amezuzah samtud zichroinich. You took all your zichroinis and you literally, they threw everything into the ocean. They didn't want to have anything to do with their Yiddishkeit. And that's on a different level. And that's something that he felt he didn't want to have anything to do with. So the point is that you don't save Sifrei Midim on Shabbos, that's for sure. Rabbi Yoshi said you can burn it, take out the names of Hashem. Rabbi Tarfin said, with the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Askaris, there's no Kedush at all. You have a right to go ahead and burn. Rabbi Shmuel agreed with Rabbi Tarfin. He said, to bring Shalom between a husband and a wife. The Soita, what do? We will Meichik the Shem Hashem to bring Shalom between a husband and a wife. Halalu, so these people, the Minim, Shematilim Kino Ve'eva Ve'tacharus, Ben Yisrael Avim Shemashamayim, they cause sinna and machlekes between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael because of the chaitim, the machtim, the rabbim, Allah has kama v'kama. Certainly you can be meichik to Shem Hashem. There's precedence for being meichik to Shem Hashem for Shalom. That's soita. So if soita, kal v'chaimer, when it comes to this, certainly this is something that you would be allowed to do. V'aleim amar David. And then Rabbi Shmuel said that it was regarding them, the meaning that David HaMelech was referring to when he said, Haloi misanecha Hashem esno. I hate those who hate you. Uviskoy memecha eskoytot. And the people that fight with you, I'm going to fight with them. Tachlis sinas anesim. La'ovim hayuli. A well-known pasuk. And Rabbi Shmuel quoted this pasuk referring to the minim. And then he continued. It's like, shemachim lezim le'adaleiko. Just like you don't save the svarim of the minim from a fire. Kachim matzim lezim le'apoylas. If a bundle of bricks falls on top of it, you leave it there. V'loim inamayim. And if it's drowning, you don't save it either. V'loim midavar ma'avdam. And not from anything else that is causing it to be lost. Boy mine Yosef Bar Chanan mi Rabavo. So Yosef Bar Chanan asked Rabavo, Hani Sifri de Bei Avidan. The Svarim, the Sifri Torah, that were used by the Bei Avidan. So what exactly is Bei Avidan? Rashi says, Mokim shemisvakrim shom karu le Beis Avidan. So this was a place where the Yidin would debate the Minim. So these were public debates, and it happened in some hall, and this is where it took place. It was in Bei Avidan, and obviously they had to have Svarim there, because they were quoting scripture, they were quoting Psukim. So the question is, this Sefer that was used in Bei Avidan, Matzila Noisam Ipnei Adoleiko Im Matzilam. Incidentally, who was the question posed to? Rabavo. If you know the rest of the story, Rabavo was someone that he had shakla v'tayr with the minim. Rabavo was someone that the Gemara says spent a lot of time amongst the noitzrim and the minim. So there's a lot of rest of the story here. But either way, the question was posed to Rabavo. Those svarim, it's not a coincidence. Those svarim, matzila noisam ibn adaleka, or ye matzila. So in, sometimes he would say yeah, v'lav, sometimes he would say no. For Rafi v'yad, in other words, he wasn't 100% sure. The Gemara says, as it relates to Bei Avidan, Rav li'osel Bei Avidan. Rav would never enter the Bei Avidan. Rav wouldn't represent the Jews in Bei Avidan. He didn't want to go there. The Koshkele Bei Nitzrafi. He certainly wouldn't go to Bei Nitzrafi. Rashi says Bei Nitzrafi was a Beis Avodah Zarah. So it was similar. It was also a place where there was debates. But whereas Beis Avidan was more of a place of intellectual and study, this was more of a pagan temple. It was more of a mokim of Avodah Zarah, where, again, similar debates took place. But he certainly wouldn't go there. Shmuel, the Bei Nitzvi, the Shmuel wouldn't go to Bei Nitzvi. The Bei Avidan, again, when Rav saw the world one way, Shmuel often saw it another way. Amrulay, the Rav, they once asked Rav, my time of the Bei Avidan. They asked Rav, why don't you go to Bei Avidan? Amrulu, so he gave them an excuse. He said, Diklo plani ikka burcha v'kashili. There's a big tree in the way. It's hard for me to get too much traffic. Niakri says, you know what, Rav, it's so important for you to come, we're going to move the tree for you. He said, yeah, you're going to move the tree, then there's going to be a hole in the ground. Tuchti kashali. Either way, diplomatically, he tried getting out of the situation. He didn't want to tell the truth, but this is not something he wanted to have anything to do with. Mar Bar Yosef said, no mi nayu ana. I'm one of the chevra. Rashi says, what does that mean? Chas v'sholem. Makirei heim. I know them. I know the oilam. V'loi mistafina minayu. I'm not afraid of them. Stating that, one time, Zimna Chada Azal, once I went to them, Bo Liskune, and they tried hurting me, meaning it's a dangerous place. It's not a place for a person to be. Ima Shalom, the visitor of Rabbi Eliezer. Ima Shalom was Rabbi Eliezer's wife. She was also Achse de Rabbi Gamliel. She was also Rabbi Gamliel's sister. So we're going to talk more about Ima Shalom in the coming Dafin, Mietz Hashem. But for now, just a story. So Ima Shalom was Rabbi Eliezer's wife. and was also the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Eliezer was shvagers with Rabbi Gamliel, as in Rabbi Gamliel de Yavna, as in the Nasi, which is interesting in light of a lot about what we know about Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Brachas Chavches, again, not for today. How about who philosopher? There was a, Rashi says, Min, again, we're using code. Bishav Avuse, Dahava Shokol, Shmodel, and Mekabel Shukta. There was a certain Min, he was a dying, and apparently he had a reputation, to be honest. But Ima Shalom and her brother, Rabbi Gamliel, they knew the truth. So they wanted to make Latzonas from him. They wanted to expose him. So they figured that they came up with a plan. So first, Ima Shalom, meaning Rabbi Gamliel's sister, Rabbi Eliezer's wife, brought this dayan, a shragel. She says, I came to give you a gift, this golden leichter, golden candelabra, v'os l'kameh. And then went to a din Torah. Amalei be'ina de nifligi li b'nichsi de be'nashi. She said that, you know, she comes together with her brother, our father died, and we have a Yerusha, and what are we supposed to do? Amalu plugu. He said, no, you should divide the Yerusha. Amalei. So Rabbi Gamliel was there. He said, what do you mean? Ksiv line, b'makim rab artalei teser. It's psukim in the Torah that if there are boys there, the girls don't get anything. So why are we dividing the Yerusha? Amalei. So he told him like this. From the times that you went into Golis, is natilos eraisa the Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah was taken away. V'isyahavis sufra achriti. And now there's new svarim that we use. This is clearly a min, as in the Ritva's translation of what a min is. And in this new sefer, it says, bro ubarta kechada yarton, that a boy and a girl, they're supposed to yarshin together. The next day, so now, again, this is all part of the plan. So Rabbi Gamliel decided now it's time for him to make his move. So he brought an alluvian chamar, donkey, of perek bameh behema yoitzah fame. Amalohu. So he told him, shvilus l'sefer dekra. And then he came back and he says, you know something? I'm appealing the ruling of yesterday's and I want to, let's revisit it. So they revisit it. He says, you know, I noticed in the end of the sefer that I was quoting from yesterday, it says like this, I know loy lemifches min ha'raisa d'moshe ha'sisi. I didn't come to change anything that Moshe Rabbeinu said. V'loy loy sufi al ha'raisa d'moshe ha'sisi. Mean nothing less, nothing more. Okay, so what does it say? Moshe Rabbeinu was tayir, v'malkam bro, b'artu loy tayir, that a boy, that the girl doesn't yashin anything if there's a son. Either way, so he went ahead and he flipped it. What was this all based on? So basically, this judge was taking shaychat shenem. When he got the golden candelabra, oh, no, this is a new rule. You split it in half. Now all of a sudden he gets a nice donkey and then he gets a nice car parked in his driveway. Oh, all of a sudden he sees it differently. So Amrolei, so the Ima Shalom turns to this dayan and says, Nahar Nahirich Kishraga. He says, I hope your candelabra is really, really bright, meaning it give you a bracha that the flame should knack. Amrolei Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel said, Asa Chamru Batash Lishraga. He said, my chamar came and it knocked out your candelabra. Either way, we're talking about Kisvei Kodesh that were written by Minim, Itamida Yeshin Noitzri, and then from there we talk a little bit about the Minim. We return now to the regular sugya, and that is the Mishnah. So the Mishnah discussed Kisuvim. Kol Kisvei HaKodesh Matzila Noisim Nea Deleka. Ben Shekoyrim Behem and Ben Shein Koyrim Behem. What was Ein Koyrim Behem? Kisuvim. Koyrim Behem is Nevi'im, Ein Koyrim Behem is Kisuvim. And the Mishnah said, Nema Ein Koyrim Behem, why are you not allowed to learn Ksuvim on Shabbos? What do you mean? You can't learn Ksuvim on Shabbos? Can't learn, say, V'iyoiv on Shabbos, for example? No Tehillim on Shabbos? Mebnei Bittel Beis HaMedrash. The reason is because Bittel Beis HaMedrash. Rashi explained in the Mishnah, because once upon a time, there were people that the only time they had an opportunity to learn anything, the only time they ever went to Shul, to Beis HaMedrash, was on Shabbos. And if they're going to go Shabbos and they're going to learn Ksuvim, they're never going to know anything. Because Ksuvim is very nice and it's Limud HaTorah, but it's Torah Shebiksav, it's not Torah Shebapeh, it's certainly not Halacha L'maisa, and it was important that people not get distracted by learning, ironically. So we don't want people to learn these Kisvei HaKodesh, therefore there was a takana that you don't learn Ksuvim on Shabbos. Amar Rav, Lo Yishanu B'Zman Beis HaMidrash. That being that the reason that you don't learn Ksuvim is what we just mentioned, so it makes sense, said Rav, that the only time this halach is in place is B'Zman Beis HaMidrash, the time that he's supposed to be in the Beis HaMidrash. Av Shloi B'Zman Beis HaMidrash, at the time where people anyways weren't in Beis HaMidrash Kairin. So on a Shabbos afternoon, after the meal, where people aren't in Beis HaMidrash anyways, so there'd be no reason for a person not to be allowed to learn Ksuvim. Shmuel Amar again, Shmuel said, no, I feel the Shloi B'Zman Beis HaMidrash ain't Kairin. Even Shloi B'Zman Beis HaMidrash, it's not okay. Any fake thing about Narda, Asri the Shmuel Havo. Narda was Shmuel's shtot. Ube Narda paski sidra b'ksuvim b'minchosa d'shabata. And in Narda, there was a minig that they leaned a haftorah, not only by shachris, but they leaned a haftorah by mincha as well. And the haftorah that they leaned by mincha
was from Ksuvim. So what do you mean? How are they allowed to learn Ksuvim? I thought there's no Ksuvim on Shabbos. So Bishlam of Shmuel held like Rav, that it's only an issue bizman based on Medrash. So this is not when they're learning halachas anyways, the davening mincha now. But Shmuel said that it's never okay. So if it's never okay, why was this fine? So the Gemara says, Eli itmar hachi itmar. You're right, you have to tweak Rav's opinion and Shmuel's opinion. Oh, my Rav Leishonu el b'mokim beis hamedrash, not bizman beis hamedrash, but rather b'mokim beis hamedrash. Al v'shalei b'mokim beis hamedrash. If you're not in shul, it's fine. Not in shul is not a problem. The Shmuel Omer bein b'mokim beis hamedrash, bein shalei b'mokim beis hamedrash. Where Shmuel was being machmer is he was saying that it's also even shalei b'mokim beis hamedrash, but only bizman beis hamedrash ain't koyin. But shalei bizman beis hamedrash koyin. Meaning the machloek is b'mokim and not b'mokim, not bizman or shalei bizman, because shalei bizman everyone holds his mutter. That was the Shmuel tamei. If this is the case, Shmuel's very nice. Ben Hardah Paski Sidra the Ksuvim the Menchasa de Shabbat, that in Hardah, which was under the supervision of Shmuel, it was under his governance. He was the Mara de Asra. They used to learn Ksuvim. In fact, they would lane it during the Haftarah by Mincha. Ayat Shalei Bizman. No, Shalei Bizman is Mutter. It's Bizman Shalei B'mokim that Shmuel was Machmer. Rav Ashi said, no, Loilam, Kedah Mara Meikar. Really, the original version of the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel is the accurate one. And if that's the case, according to Rav, Lo Yishanu Ela Bizman Beis HaMedrash, Ava Shalei Bizman Beis HaMedrash Kar. Shmuel Amar Afilu Shalei Bizman Beis HaMedrash Ein Kar. What's the kasha? If Shmuel holds Shalei Bizman Beis HaMedrash Ein Kar, and how in Ardol were they able to do what they did? So the Gemara says, Shmuel Kerab Nechemia. When Shmuel said his halacha, he wasn't saying what he holds Lamaisa. He was saying over what would be according to Reb Nechemya. The Tanya, who's Reb Nechemya, Aval Bishamur Kisvei HaKodesh Ein Karim Bahem. Even though we said you're not allowed to learn Kisvei HaKodesh, Aval Shoinim Bahem. But you're allowed to learn, Rashi says, Shoinim can go Medrash Shir HaShirim V'Kahelas. You can learn the Midrashos, the Darshan Bahem, and you can Darshan. Nitzrach LaPasik, if you need a Pasik, maybe V'Raya, but you're allowed to look in a Pasik. I'm Reb Nechemya, Neima Amur Kisvei HaKodesh Ein Karim Bahem. What's the reason that you don't learn Kisvei HaKodesh? Kadesha Yoimru, Kisvei HaKodesh Ein Karim. The kolsh came b'shtari had yaitis, meaning Reb Nechemya threw a whole nother reason into why it is no ksuvim. We're saying no ksuvim because we don't want people to be distracted. You're learning halachas. It means that you're learning halachas, so no ksuvim. Reb Nechemya gave a different reason. Reb Nechemya said that it's to teach a lesson, and that is, if you don't learn ksuvim on Shabbos, certainly you don't read a newspaper on Shabbos. That was the point. Kol shekein shtarei hedyotos. So it was more to make that point. So when Shmuel said that no ksuvim, even shaloi bizman hamedrash, she was going to Reb Nechemya. Because according to Reb Nechemya, the reason has nothing to do. The reason has nothing to do with being distracted. It has nothing to do with halachas. It's related to, it's about making a point. Kedesha yoimru, bekisvei hakodesh in karim, vekol shekein b'shtarei hedyotos. Chanan took something that should have been mutter. They said it's us. To make a point. It's interesting. You don't find that every day. But it was just to make a point, to learn a Kal V'chaymer. That if Ksuvim is also certainly Shtari Yait is also. But you want to know what Shmuel held? Shmuel didn't hold like Reb Nechemya. Because Reb Nechemya was a Yachid who argued with the Chachamim, who were the Rabbim. Yachid V'Rabbim, Halachik Rabbim. So according to Shmuel, Halacha L'maisa, Shmuel held that the reason you're not supposed to learn Ksuvim is related to the fact that it's Bittul based Medrash. And if that's the case, he held like Rav, that the only time it would be an issue is Bizman based Medrash, but Shloi based Medrash won't be an issue. And it's for that reason you could learn the Haftarah from Ksuvim. So what they did in the Hardah followed what Shmuel held was the Halacha. When Shmuel said his opinion, arguing with Rav, he was going not what the Halacha is, but rather he was going based on Shitas Rav Nechemya, thus there's no stira. Shmuel's halacha contradicted what the minig hamakim was in Shmuel's shuls and in his town. It's not a stira, because when Shmuel said his halacha, he wasn't saying it alibi the hilchasa, he was just saying what would come out according to Rav Nechemya. But as far as what Shmuel held halacha l'maisa, that wasn't in line with Shitas Rav Nechemya, but rather that was in line with Shitas HaChachamim Exel. So two ha'aros, as it relates to the beginning of the daf, and that is the classic Gemara, the parsha of Vayehi ben Tzoya ha'aron. The Gemara brought a price. This was the opening lines of today's daf. Tanu Rabbana, Vayehi ben Tzoya ha'aron, Vayomer Moshe. Parsha zu asala kodesh baruch hu simonios milmala ulamat loymar she'en ze mekoyimha. The Tanakhama says, who the Gemara clarified is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that if you take a look at a Sefer Torah,
In Parshas Ba'aloyscha, there's two psukim that are surrounded with simonios. You have simonios lamayla, meaning in front of the words. Simonios lamayta, meaning at the end of the words. And the reason is, she'ein zeh mekayem, because these psukim are out of context. In fact, one day in the future, these psukim are going to be taken from here, and they're going to be put back into their proper place. Asida parshas usha ti'okim mikam v'tikaseh b'mekayem. Why is it here? To be mafsik ben peronius. Rebbe argued with his father, Rav Shimon Gamliel, as he often does in Shas. And Rebbe said that, Tata, I agree. There's simonios that are supposed to be in the Sifrei Torah. This is the Messiah that we have. It's one is before Vayim and Saya Aroim, and the other one is after Uvenucha Yoyim, but it's not for your reason. And it's not because it's out of order. It is in the proper place. Rather, the reason is because those two psukim are a Sefer Torah for themselves. I mean that it's a Sefer Torah for themselves. You need to emphasize that somehow. So how do you emphasize that it's a Sefer Torah for itself? The way you do that is by putting simonios before and simonios after. It's interesting that if you take a look at Rashi and Tosfos and the Rashba, the Ramban, and the Ran, and the Ritva, look at all the Rishonim. The Rishonim don't explain what exactly these simonios were. What were these simonios? So a Sefer Torah has to have simonios. Parashazu Asula HaKadosh Baruch Hu Simonios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochel, is the one that made these simonios. This is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And it has to be Melmailo L'Mata. It's important, it needs to be there, but what exactly these simonios are, we don't know. And stating that, it was a major machloikis amongst the poskim, what they are. But again, it's interesting that the machloikis really begins with the Marshal. Now, the Marshal lived in the 1500s. And it seems like until the Marshal's time, there wasn't clarity, not even a discussion. It sounds like everybody was supposed to know. I mean, you expected Rashi to tell us here. Now, the Marshal, in his tshuva that we're about to go through, mentions that he saw old ksavim of Rashi where there were some money, as mentioned. But the Rashi that we have and the Rishonim that we have is really ikar chasim min ha-sefer, pun intended. It's not clear exactly what these simonios are. Either way, the Marshal, in one of his most famous tshuvas, it's in Simon Ayin Gimel. So he was asked this question that, you know, by Soifrim, we know there's something called simonios. What exactly are these simonios supposed to be? Said the Marshal, and we're going to go through this very, very bekitzer, that what the simonios are is they're supposed to be spaces. You have to have gaps. So you have to have a hefsek, like a psuch and a stoma, before Vayim and Saya Ha'aroin, and then after the second pasuk, Uvenucha Yoyim Hashuva Hashem Ruva Vais Alfi Yisrael. He said, this is what these simonios are. Said the Marshal, the reason I'm telling this to you is because I've seen people make a mistake. I've seen Soifrim that they wrote Sifrei Torah, and what they do is they take nuns, as in the letter nun, they tzemish it, they make it upside down, nun hafuchais, and they put one backwards nun in front of Ayib and Saya Aron, and another backwards nun after Venucha Yoy Mashuv Hashem Rivavais Alfei Yisrael. Says the Marshal, that's a mistake. You can't just put a nun in the middle of a Sefer Torah, and that's not what these simonios are. In fact, the Marshal says that v'tomei ani aleihem. I've seen people do this. Lichtoiv beis oseis b'Torah shaloi l'tzorich u'lepaisra. You can't do that because if you do that, you're making the Sefer Torah apostle. Sha'afilu ois achas yisera paiselas. One extra letter in the Sefer Torah makes the Sefer Torah apostle. You can't just deposit a nun here and deposit a nun there. That's something that you're not allowed to do. He says if you would put the kudus on a Sefer Torah, you'd make the Sefer Torah apostle. So adding a nun certainly would make the Sefer Torah apostle. So then what is the simonius? There's a parsha before and after kimin adin loy hoy loy lahafsik. There should really be no hafsik. That's this brisa that you make a hafsik. Reb Shimon Gamliel for his reason, Rebbe for his reason, but at the end of the day, this is not a letter. There's no nun hafuches that you're supposed to put here, but rather what this is all about is this is supposed to be a hafsik. Stating that, says the Marshal, I'm going to tell you why people made a mistake. Because the truth is, there is an idea, a different idea, nothing to do with this Gemara. This is fascinating. Nothing to do with this Gemara that you're supposed to have upside down or inverted nuns in the parasha of Vayihi ben Saya Ha'aretz. But that has nothing to do with this Gemara. It's based on a Zohar HaKadosh. And he quotes the Zohar HaKadosh in very, very great detail. It's very long. He quotes the entire Zohar. The Zohar says something very fascinating. The Zohar says, Vayisu mehar Hashem derech shloishas yomim, va'aroim bris Hashem noiseya lefneim. And as we're going to see in tomorrow's raid, that Vayisu mehar Hashem derech shloishas yomim, this was a terrible avera that the Yidden did. And the Aron was three
The Aron was 3 days ahead of them. But at the same time, the Aron had a nun and it was inverted and it was facing Klal Yisrael. And says the Zohar HaKadosh, there's an unbelievable chizik in this pasuk. And the chizik is that even when Klal Yisrael's Vayisu Mehar Hashem, but at the same time, the nun is hafuchos, and it's always asking Klal Yisrael, come back. It's Yodai Pshuta LeKabel Sham. But he says, but that's a whole different idea, said the Marshal. And you know what those nun hafuchos are? Says the Marshal, those are the nuns that are in the pasuk itself. Vayihi bin Nisoy. Nisoya Ha'arin has a nun. Uvenucha Yoimad is a nun. Those nuns are the ones that are supposed to be inverted. It's not a nun before, the nun after. So said the Mashiach, you know what happened? The Mashiach HaDoiris, the Soifrim got confused. There were people that made a mistake. People knew there's a Gemara in Masech the Shabbos. Aseloi Simoni is before and after. There was this Messiah of having nun hafuchais. So everyone assumed it's one of the same. Oh, the nun hafuchais are probably the nun of Fanel Lacharah. So where did the nun hafuchais go? There's an extra nun. You just throw, you drop a nun in the same for Torah before by even Sayyid Aaron, and you drop another nun after Ubenucha Yayma. But really, said the Marshal, you're going ahead and you're taking Chitin and Sayyid, you're mixing it up. This is a Gemara, this is a Zayyid. It's two separate things. This Simonius of the Gemara is talking about space, it's a hefsek. The nun, Hafuchais, is referring to the nuns of the words themselves. It's two separate things. And the Marshal said if someone would write a nun in the middle of a Sefer Torah, these nun Hafuchais would make the Sefer Torah apostle. And you know why the Sefer Torah would be apostle? Because you can't add letters, you can't add anything to a Sefer Torah. So of course it would be possible. So what's the nun's hafuchais that there was a Messiah on? That's the nun of Ayim Messiah Aron. That's the nun of Uvenucha Yomar. So he says, it's a geshmak etos, but it's a mistake. I understand where it came from, said the Marshal. But this was a terrible, terrible mistake. The Simonios and the nun hafuchais are two separate in Yonim. The Simonios is Rebbe Reb Shimon Gamliel, because this is, either it's a parsha for itself, or it's out of context. And the nun hafuchais is, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, Derech Shloishes Yomim, the Aron is calling out Klai Israel, Yodai Nesuna the Kabul Poshim, Dvarim Neflam. This is what the Marshal says. So the Marshal says like this, Vihine Chipastiyu Badakti B'Sifrei Torah. I started researching Sifrei Torah and I found 12 different, it's amazing, V'Roisi Yud Beis Tmunois B'Inyan Hanunin. Says I found 12 different ways of doing it. He said 11 of them had the nuns of some of the psukim. Inverted, meaning Vayihi ben Nesaya, the nun of Nesaya, Uvenuchai, and the nun of Venuchai. There was some that had it on the next pasuk. Vayihi ha'am ki misoininim. Also, again, beautiful. Deher, Klal Yisrael were misoininim, but there's a nun hafuchais that even when Klal Yisrael they're literally in the shval hamatzah, but still the nun hafuchais still come do tshuva. But either way, he says, I saw 11 of them had the nuns of these words somewhere, hafuchais, and there was one that had the nun in the front and the nun after. He said, the 11 are all kosher, because we don't really know how it's supposed to be. So any one of those 11, he says, I'm okay with. The only one I have a problem with is the nun before the words and the nun afterwards. B, you're just dropping a nun. That's not something you're allowed to do. This is the tshuva of the Marshal, Shailos or Tshuvas, from the Marshal Simon Ayin Gimel. But there's another tshuva, and this is well known. And this is a tshuva from the Noida B'Yehuda, Rabbi Yecheskel Landau. And this is in Yeridea, Madura Kama. It's Simon Ayin Dalid. The name of the Simon is Be'inyan Hanunin Hafuchim Shebe Parishes Vayehi Ben Soya. Now this is a long tshuva. Hafoichba v'hafoichba dekulaba. Take my word for it. But I just speak out a few ha'oris, a few just things to take out of this Noida B'Yehuda. He says, the first thing is, he says, he brings the Marshal, and the Marshal said that it's posha to him that the nun hafuchis can't be a nun before and a nun after. He says, why? Because it's an extra letter. You're not allowed to just write an extra letter in the Torah. He says, it doesn't make sense. An extra letter in the Torah would make the Sefer Torah apostle. It says, the Noida B'Yehuda. He says, I find it interesting. The Marshal said it's so poshit that if you have an extra letter in a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah is going to be apostle. It says, the Noida B'Yehuda. I have no idea where the Marshal got that from. That sounds like the most basic halacha, right? You can't have extra words or extra letters in a Sefer Torah. It says, the Noida B'Yehuda, the Marshal made it up. Not true. No such halacha. There's no such halacha that says you can have extra letters, you can have extra words. You can't alter a word. But if you have an extra letter, that's what the big deal is. You have a nun hafuchais. I don't think that's a big deal. He says, in fact, I think the Marshal Zoyar, that I have trouble with. Because there you're taking a word that has to be written in a certain way and you're submitting the letter. How do you have a right to do that? If the nun hafuchais is not a nun, it doesn't say ben soya ha'aren. That might be apostle Sefer Torah. But to drop an extra letter in a Sefer Torah, lo shamanu v'lo ro'inu, I never heard of such a thing, says the Noida B'Yehuda. So said the Noida B'Yehuda, this is classic. He says, I know probably where the Marshal is getting this from. He got it from the Rambam. The Rambam, in Perek Yud, Hilchis Tfilin Umezuzah V'Sefer Torah. So the Rambam says, Nimtzas Lomid. Says it comes out, if you do the math, She'esrim Dvorim Heim She'chol Echem Heim Poysel V'Sefer Torah. There are 20 things, like Pachis V'lo Yoyser. There are 20 things that if you mess up at any one of these 20 things, the halacha is, if the Sefer Torah is going to be Poysel. V'Nasa B'Yechem, and if you violate any one of them, Areu K'chumish V'na Chumashim. It's a Chumash. I'm a Lamda B'matinoikis, but V'im by K'tusha Sefer Torah, V'im Karim by B'Rabim. And then the Rambam lists 1 through 20, systematically, methodically, the way the Rambam always does. Number 13. Says the Rambam, Shehoysef Afilu Oysachas. You added one letter? Says the Rambam Yehuda. Mashal, maybe, probably, you think? He was probably coming from this Rambam. The Rambam says, Hoysev Afilu Oysachas. That's what the Mashal said. You can't just put a nun. But says, Denoy de Yehuda, Be Medayak Lashoyne Azov Shal HaRambam. What the Rambam say? Nimtzas Lomid She'esrim Dvorimim. It comes out, in summation, that there are 20 halachis as it relates to a Sefer Torah. You know what that means? If the Rambam says, Nimtzas Lomid, in summation, there are 20 things that pasul, that means all 20 things that the Rambam is now mentioning in his synopsis were referenced earlier in his Yad Chazaka. Right? The Rambam's not introducing 20 things. The Rambam is summarizing. He's making a synopsis of 20 things that he already mentioned. This is just what the words of the Rambam mean. Nimtzas lomid, it comes out. What we have learned is, she'esrim dvarimim. And then the Rambam, kedarkoi, made it simple for us, the reader and learner, to understand what these 20 things are. That means somewhere in the Rambam's Yad Chazaka, in the earlier Brachim, the Rambam already said that if someone's moisef and oisachas, the Sefer Torah is going to be possible. Says the Noda Behuda, if you go back and go through the first 9 Brachim, where the Rambam talks about tefillin, mezuzahs, and sefer Torah, there's one sif katan, there's one halacha where the Rambam talks about this. And that's in Perek Zayin, it's halacha yud aleph. Says the Rambam, im kosav ha-molei chaser. If someone took a word that's supposed to be written molei, it's supposed to have a vav, and he wrote it without the vav. Oh yeah, chaser molei. Or he took a word that's supposed to be chaser, and he wrote it molei, etc., etc. Harei zeh psula. Says the Noida B'Yehuda, this is the only time the Rambam mentioned anything about an extra letter. So it's pashit that when the Rambam gave you the summary in Perek Yud, number 13, as from 1 to 20, Shehoysev Afilu Oysachas, he means that. Because he's not being mechadish something here in Perek Yud. He's just reviewing and summarizing in base medrash b'loy chedish, something he already told you. He told it to you in Perek Zayin. But what did he say in Perek Zayin? That if you alter a word, so if you take a word and you add a letter or you subtract a letter, that's where it's a problem. So if you would take a letter, a word, and you would add a letter to the word, oh, that's going to be possible. But to just put a letter in the middle of a sefer Torah, no such psul. Marshal made it up. The Rama Fakeri never said it. Half of a fellow. This was the Noida Behuda's taina on the. This was the Noida Behuda's taina. He says, besides, the Marshal said that no one ever talked about this. Marshal had to come and try to figure out what the simonies are. He says, I think the Marshal forgot a Rav Haigoyen. The Rav Haigoyen is actually on a mission that we learned together not so long ago. Davkuv Dalad Amid Beis. It was discussing if somebody makes a simon, as in, he was koisev on Shabbos. So the question is he chai mishum koisev, or is he not chai mishum koisev? And Rav Chai Goyen explains that Mishnah, and Rav Chai Goyen says, that what's an example of a simin? So Rav Chai Goyen said, for example, somebody would make a nun hafuch. This is what he says. Pirish Rav Chai Goyen, listen to this. Shnei simonim she'enoin oisi oisi yuduoi spiksav. She'en nekron simonim ba'amot. Rav Chai Goyen, nunim hafuchim. Such as inverted nunim, the kosvu gabe vayib and soya ha'aroin, kidem efurish beperet kol kisve. So says the Noda Behuda, Haresha Ramaz Rabbeinu Hayala Nunan Afuchim. That means Rav Haigoyen spoke about the Nunan Afuchim. Shehem Efuroshim Beperet Kol Kisvei. Vem Kein Kavonis HaGemara Basimonim Alolu Ala Nunan Afuchim. Vehein Hein HaSimonim. Udu Loi Kedivrei HaMarshal. Marshal said the Gemara doesn't mean the Nunan desire is the Nunan Afuchim. The Marshal said that the Gemara is referring to the spaces. Listen to this Lashon. Rabbeinu Hay Baki Beferish HaGemara Tvei Mine. He says the Rav Haigoyen knew Pshat in the Gemara better than Marshal. Vahazoyer Adayin Loi Neskala Bimei Rabbeinu Hay. Rav Haigoyen didn't have the Zayir HaKadosh, says the Noda Behuda. So he says, this is clear gather from the Gemara. So the Marshal says, well, people confuse the Gemara with the Zayir. He says, very geschmack, but it's connected to Rav Haigoyen. And he says, I think Rav Haigoyen puts this whole thing to rest. And if that's the case, this is a moot point. One of the things that the Noda Behuda writes, and that's why this tshuva is famous, you know, unfortunately, sometimes you have a tshuva that hafoichba, vafoichba, the kulubah. This Noda Behuda is not so famous because of the diak in the Rambam, which is unbelievable. It's more famous for what Toich Dvaru of the Noid Behuda said about the Zohar. I'll just read some of the Lashonis. He said, V'hine b'divrei ha-Zohar in Ritzoni Laharach. Mr. Marshall was coming and he based his whole thesis on a Zohar. He says, I don't want to be Mayrich on the Zohar. Umam ma'oid chara api al elu ha'oiskin b'sefer ha-Zohar u'b'sifrei ha-Kabbalah b'farhesya. Parkam al Toiro niglas me'al tzavorim den onur niglo u'metzafzifim u'mahagim b'sefer ha-Zohar. V'zeh v'zeh lo'i olu b'yodan v'ayidei zeh Toiro mishtakachas mi'Yisrael v'lo yoid elu sh'b'dayriseinu nisrabu ha-minim mikat shabsai tzvi yamach shamoi ha-yuroi ligdor geder b'limud ha-Zohar b'sifrei Kabbalah. We should have made a geder. Nobody should learn Kabbalah. V'inei einas man laharich baze v'al koponim ein meirin halachem in azoyer v'ein ritzoni laharich b'kavonas azoyer ki ein li esik bin estarais u'bemasher hushesi yasboina. So agav urchi, he threw in the denoid of Yehuda. This whole idea of making halacha based on azoyer is something I'm not comfortable with. But I just want to tell you something very interesting. You know, people often quote this. Denoid of Yehuda says things like this. The Shem Yichud is famous. A few things denoid of Yehuda said about this that people often quote. But you have to know the rest of the story. You have to know the context. Denoid of Yehuda had a son, Rav Shmuel, who was the next Rav in Prague. We spoke about the Nebuchadnezzar's Edom recently, Rav Yosef HaTzadik. Nebuchadnezzar had another son who was known as Yakovka. Yakovka, he was the son of the Neid of Yehuda. And Yakovka Landau, the son of Rabbi Cheskeland, the Neid of Yehuda, wrote a Hakdama to Shailos Tshuvas Neid of Yehuda, Madura Tinyana. And I want to read to you just one excerpt, Toich Dvarov, of what he said about his father. He says about his father, Avinu Royenu Roye Yisrael, Niskado Bechutzan Torah Vigdula. The Neid of Yehuda came from a very wealthy family, from a very rabbinic family. He was Torah Vigdula B'makam Echad. Upana L'mayla. Chein China Hashem Oysoi Deya Ubina V'Haskel. Bina Yisera Neidasle B'Meyalumov. He was brilliant. He was a prodigy from a very young age. Molei Kresei B'Shasu Poiskim Arishoyne. He was Molei Kresei B'Shasu Poiskim. V'chol Rozloi Onesle Misoid Hashem L'Yireyev. But he also knew the secrets. He knew Soid Hashem L'Yireyev. Dvash V'chol of Tachas L'Shoynoi. L'Shoyn Zov Sogur Lo Yisham Alpiv. V'snuim Chachma. And then he says like this. How do I know? Meaning what he's saying is in his poetic way that the Noid of Yehuda was a big bucky in Kabbalah. Kasher ba'amono shamati peh kodesh yoy mazeh. Kodesh Hashem mechubit goyim v'chosid ha-mefursim mekubalu aleiki moirenu v'rabbeinu Rav Chaim Sanzer. So this is the other Rav Chaim Sanzer. This is not the Divrei Chaim. But this is Rav Chaim Sanzer, who was a well-known, maybe considered the number one mekubal in Poland in the 18th century. Says Rav Yakovka, who was the son of the Neid B'Yehuda, I'm going to tell you, I heard that my father, I didn't know this from my father firsthand because he never told me. But I heard this Reb Chaim Sanzer, he told me what a mekubal my father was, the Noid of Yehuda. Asher yodanu, ki hu hoyo loy lechavir toyo belimudi Hashem anastaris. He said, the Noid of Yehuda, he told me, was his chavrusa. They used to learn Kabbalah together. Hu hoyo oimer. Reb Chaim Sanzer used to say about the Noid of Yehuda, ki kol kisvei koidesh ala arizal, v'yesei sifri Kabbalah mekubalah memdina zu, gam amir nevuchim, elu chubu lo yachtava yotmunim b'sefer knof of selo. He said he knew gans kisvei aribal peh. This is the Noid of Yehuda. His son is talking. Hu kizoy se fligu gam yesei chachmi kloiz depoy. And I heard this from other people in the kloiz. Now if you want to know the rest of the story, in the early 1700s, this is when the Noid of Yehuda was a younger man. There was a cloys in the city of Brod, Brody. The city of Brod, that's where Rav Shlomo Kluge was, the magnate of Brod that the Noid of Yehuda refers to. So this was in the city of Brod. And there was a cloys there where there were yechid and people that were tremendous, tremendous Tamid Chachamim, and they used to learn Kabbalah. And the Noid of Yehuda was a member of that chevra in this cloys in Brod. And he learned the chavrusa with Reb Chaim Sanzer. And he goes on and on and on to talk about what a big makubal he was. Incidentally, one of the things that Rabbi Yakovka said in his Akdama is he said that the Noid of Yehuda wanted to write a sefer, he wanted to write a pirush on Masechtas Ksubas. We're supposed to have tzlach on Ksubas. We don't have tzlach on Ksubas. He wanted to write the tzlach on Ksubas. And he writes like this, that even though he knew that there were other really good svarim on Ksubas, and specifically he mentioned the Pnei Yeshua, and he mentioned the Hafla that was written by Reb Pinchas HaLevi Horowitz. So there were two good svarim, but he said, Im kol zeh, he said, Oid emtsam mokim ledaber davar. He said he felt that there was still room for him to contribute something to Masechtas Ksubas. We were supposed to have the Tzlach and Ksubas. And then he says, parenthetically, we're digressing from our digression, because that's what Rabbi Yaakov did. Midei dabri boi bayomim ohem, hisboinanti, ki yoim yoim eskerose letoiv, Hashem hagoi rapinchas alevi horowitz, bichi b'yisera, v'ahava musteris, b'kiro yisli b'yatar. He said, I just mentioned that, I have to tell you. He says, the chiba, the ahava that my father, Noid Yehuda, had for that flow was not shy. Shaykh. He couldn't control himself. He says, "Umid Dabri, but I just have to tell you, you have no idea how much my father loved the Hafla." The Hafla was the Chassam Soif's Rebbe. This just creates a little bit of a connection between the Chassam Soif and the Noi Debi Yehuda. A little bit of the rest of the story. Amazing that he said, "He couldn't control. I have to tell you how much my father loved the Hafla." I don't think people know this. And the Hafla also came a little from the Chassidish Akrais and Kiyodua. But with the Maggid, the point is, you have to understand that Yehuda wrote against Chalila. He sat and he studied Kabbalah. And of course, he wasn't saying anything derogatory. That wasn't his point. The point was, there were people that they didn't learn Nigla. They weren't Bekiyim and they weren't Malayim, Kresay, Beshasu, Paiskim. All they did was learn Zohar and Kabbalah. And coming off the heels of Shabbosai Tzvi, the Yehuda felt that was a very big mistake. And because of that, he felt he had no choice. This was something that he had to protest against. This was something he had to be Meicha. But the less brayer, he had no choice. But this is the rest of the story. You know, people take these Yehuda out of context and you have a picture of who the Yehuda Chas V'Shalom was going on of it. Read this. You have to go through everything and then try to formulate the idea. Again, I think this is true. But the bottom line is, this is what the Yehuda Yehuda said over from Yaakovka. But the bottom line, so what was the Yehuda's final psak? So the Yehuda said, he says, Tachlas, this is what it is. The way the Sefer are supposed to write it, I think this is the way it's done, is you have supposed to have a nun before Vayibin Saya and a nun after Uvenucha Yoimar. Those are the nun and Afuchas. And then he added with the final with his final line, and that is Kach Nir Laniyas Daiti Aloch Lamaisa Im Yavei Liyadai Sefer Sheyichtev Sefer Torah Me'ayoyim V'Halo. So if a Sefer is going to come to me from today forward and he's going to want to write a Sefer Torah, this is what I'm going to instruct him to do. This is, I think, what you're supposed to do. Just to end with one final tshuva, and that is a tshuva from Rabbi Loza Fleckler, who of course was a Talmud Muvik of the Noi Debi Yehuda. And he was asked the same question. And this is how he starts. Listen to this lashon. He says, "Ahuvi yedidi, yodei ani ba'atzmi she'ein ani k'dai la'amoid b'mokim shebali tshuva oimdev." Who were the Bali Tshuva? He meant, you have so many Tshuvas. You have a Tshuva from the Marshal. You have a Tshuva from the Rebbe. The Noi Debi Yehuda, he says, "Eini kedai lamid b'makim shebali Tshuva oimdev." L'shoina yazav. But he says that the Noi Debi, he quotes the Rebbe's Tshuva, the Noi Debi Yehuda. And then at the end, he just said like this. He said, "But I want to be medayik what the Rebbe said." Because the Noi Debi Yehuda wrote, I mean, now we know the Noi Debi Yehuda, Kisvei Ari, we can call him the Rebbe. So now we know what the Noi Debi Yehuda, what the Rebbe said. He said at the end, "Kach nir laniyas daiti alocha lemaisim yobili He said, "I think it's very meduyik that he only said moving forward. I'm going to tell Seifim to write the Sefer Torah this way. But to go backwards and to pass the Sefer Torah doesn't sound like the Rebbe wanted to do that." So he says, "I think that's the psak. You follow what the Noi Debi Yehuda said." He says, "Who am I to even stand b'makom shebalei tshuva oimdim? But at the same time, I'm going to be medayik. This is my contribution. That the Noi Debi Yehuda said, im yavei liyadei Sefer, this is what you're supposed to do moving forward." So as it relates to the Sefer Torah, chas v'shalom, you don't put it in Gneza. You can use them as kashrus Sefer Torah. But moving forward, you follow the Noi Debi Yehuda.